you know, when I was in high school, you wouldn't have been able to pay me any amount of money to do what she just did. Isn't it an amazing thing when our young people take leadership roles like that? Amazing. This past week and a half, we joined with the rest of our nation in celebrating the 4th of July, or Independence Day. On that date, as many of you know, in 1776, it was late in the morning or early noon, church bells rang out over the city of Philadelphia. It was an air of celebration, of anticipation, and probably a fair amount of tension, too. The Declaration of Independence had been signed, and history was being made. Now, I could be wrong, but I would guess that I'm not. I would guess that most of you have not taken the time to memorize the Declaration of Independence. By show of hands, has anyone? It would impress me. Interesting, okay. And people raising their hands. But anyway, even having read the document, which I did a few weeks ago, that recently, I wouldn't be able to do more than summarize the main points. But there is one phrase that I bet most, if not all of you, know by heart. The second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence begins, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is a phrase that sticks. It rolls off the tongue as a cry of empowerment, celebrating the value of human life and human initiative. It is a cry of revolution, and it gave birth to a nation, the most prosperous nation that the world has ever seen. But before we go any further, I'd like to take a moment to consider what these words actually mean. We are endowed by God with certain rights. Now, as Christians, acknowledging that God is the source, I would suggest that we use the word gifts rather than rights. These are gifts that only God has the authority to give or to take away. God has given us the gift of life. God has given us the gift of freedom. So far, so good. But here's the big question. Has God given us the gift, the right, to pursue happiness? Does He encourage it? Now, I want to ask you to consider this question as we open God's Word this morning. But first, will you pray with me? Lord, as we are about to open Your Word, as we wait in anticipation for what You have to teach and to tell us, please send Your Holy Spirit to move and work among us. Open our hearts, open our minds to the words that You want to speak. Let us submit to the motivation, the gifts, the power that You want to give us in hearing these words and putting them into practice. Be with us this morning. In Your name, amen. So we're going to open our Bibles now to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to be reading from chapter 3. If you'd like to follow along in Bibles, which I always encourage, there are Bibles in the back there. Feel free to grab one. Proverbs 3, we're going to be reading verses 1 to 20. It's located on page 450. Oh, and you can follow along up there too, I forgot. But if you do have your Bibles open, it's page 450. Starting at verse 1. My son, my daughter, my child, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son or daughter He delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, He set the heavens in place. By His knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, a lot changed for me when I became a father. It's a whole new perspective on life, isn't it? And it wasn't until I became a father myself that I began to understand the significance of the hopes and dreams my own parents had and continue to have for me. Now, when someone asks me about the hopes and dreams I have for my daughters, the first thing that comes to my mind is, I want them to be happy. Now, I would suspect that were you to be asked the same question, you would respond in much the same way that I did. You want your children to be happy. You wish happiness for their lives. But what is happiness? Now, the passage we just read, actually, the whole book of Proverbs is about the pursuit of happiness. Now, hey, wait, you say, isn't the book of Proverbs all about wisdom? Well, I'm glad you asked. Proverbs is a book about wisdom. What it is, how to pursue it, and even some of the rewards we can expect when we achieve some measure of wisdom. But in Proverbs, we find a flip side to wisdom as well. Just as the book of Psalms presents us with the way of the wicked compared to the way of the righteous, Proverbs presents us with two ways that we can choose to live. The way of wisdom or the way of foolishness. Now, both of these ways foolish or wise, are attempts, human attempts, to achieve happiness. But as you may already suspect, only one of these ways can truly deliver. Now in Proverbs 3, King Solomon pulls one of his children aside. Perhaps this is the son that will one day succeed him as king. Perhaps another one of his children, whom Solomon is merely concerned about at a critical juncture in their lives. We don't know for sure. But I imagine Solomon walking through the courtyard, hand in hand with this beloved child. They sit down on a bench, and the king looks down and says, "My son, my daughter, my child, can you feel the intimacy, the love, the hope, the concern? Can you feel the weight of what this wise king is about to say?" And we pause for a moment to consider what is implied, but yet remains unsaid. In so many ways, this world that we live in can be a treacherous place. There are seemingly infinite decisions that every man and woman must make as we travel through life. In Solomon's day, young people could choose to disregard the teaching of their elders. Children rebelled against their parents. They could choose to be selfish and unfaithful, trusting only in themselves. Men and women were tempted to think they knew it all. And feelings of greed and entitlement ever crouched at the doors to people's hearts. And of course, on the flip side, whenever something bad happened in life, God was the first to be accused. "Why did you let this happen to me, God? Why did you single me out for this kind of suffering?" Solomon and his child faced a world that was out of alignment with God's reality. Foolishness was the order of the day. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds hauntingly familiar to me. We live in a culture today that gives us permission, even encouragement, to create our own realities, to go our own way. If it feels good, do it. The pursuit of happiness is our right as Americans. It's just that so many people don't understand what happiness truly is. Even Christians are often misguided about what in this life will give them happiness and fulfillment. Sheryl Crow, in a hit song from a few years ago, frames the problem this way. "If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. But if it makes you happy, then why the hell are you so sad?" Living out of alignment with reality, with God's reality, is not only foolish, it is also the recipe for the most unhappy and unfulfilling lives we can imagine. Now, according to one of my Old Testament professors, the overarching theme of the book of Proverbs is the reality that God has placed an order in His creation that we must pay attention to in order to live wisely. And we saw this clearly stated in verses 19 and 20. "By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding He set the heavens in place. By His knowledge the deeps were divided." Solomon instructs his child with the understanding that God created the world to operate in a certain way. And with that creation order in mind, I find it interesting that Solomon identifies six ways to pursue wisdom. 6 ways to achieve true happiness in alignment with God's reality. God labors for 6 days, speaking the world into existence. 6 days of the week we are to labor and do all of our work. And in 6 ways we begin to experience the fullness of life that God desires for His people. My son, my daughter, my child, first of all, do not forget my teaching. Understand that I want the very best for you. Learn from my experience. Listen to what I have to say. Guard it and treasure it in your heart. Let it lead you to success and happiness, peace and wholeness throughout your entire life. My son, my daughter, my child. Second, do not let Hesed and Emeth forsake you. Hesed is God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Emeth is God's truth, firmness, stability. Let your life always reflect these two things, love and truth. Wear them like a necklace. Write them on your heart. With this foundation of love and truth, your relationship with God and your relationships with others will be as they were meant to be. My son, my daughter, my child. Third, trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God is the source of wisdom. God is the source of all power. God is the source of all happiness. Depend on Him and He will never steer you wrong. He will never let you fall into confusion. In Him, your identity is secure. Your path will be laid out before you. My son, my daughter, my child. Fourth, live a life of humility. Countless people and ideas will come along and try to persuade you that they have the answer to ultimate fulfillment and happiness. I can assure you that their promises are empty. But the person that you need to be most suspicious of is you. Do not deceive yourself. Rather, honor the Lord and turn from evil, and God will bless you with healing and refreshment. My son, my daughter, my child. Fifth, remember that God is the source from whom all blessings flow. Our world and everything in it belongs to God. Honor Him with tithes and offerings, the first fruits of your labor. Support His work in this world. Be a gracious and thankful person, and God will lead you to happiness and prosperity regardless of your circumstances. My son, my daughter, my child. Finally, you're going to make your share of mistakes. You're going to be faced with the natural consequences of those mistakes. And it's going to be unpleasant. But be assured that this too is part of God's created order. And through it all, remember that God loves you. These are King Solomon's deepest hopes and dreams for his child. These are my deepest hopes and dreams for my own children. But ultimately, these are God's words of promise spoken into the lives of His children. These words are for us. and to prove just how important we are to Him, to prove just how much He wants this for us. God sent His Son Jesus to pay the price for our sin and restore our relationship with this God who loves us so much. Because He is the perfect human being, living exactly as God intended and bearing His image clearly, Jesus communicates with His words, His actions, and His emotions what it means to be wise. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Becoming wise, achieving true happiness, is nothing else and nothing less than becoming like Jesus. In verses 13 through 18 of our passage this morning, Solomon provides us with a description of true happiness. But Solomon, living and writing when he did, could only know part of the truth. Because we know who Jesus Christ is and what He has done, we can read these verses with a new perspective. If you haven't open yet, follow along. "Happy are those who find Jesus Christ. The gifts He gives us are better than silver and gold. Jesus Christ is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with Him. Long life is in His right hand, and in His left hand are riches and honor. His ways are pleasant, and all of His paths are peace. Jesus Christ is the tree of life to all that lay hold of Him, and those who hold Him fast are called happy." Before we opened our Bibles this morning, I asked you to consider whether God gives us the right or gift to pursue happiness. I hope that you see from God's Word that He does indeed want us to be happy. God desires it so much that through His servant Solomon, He lays out the process in detail. He also makes this possible through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And never underestimate God's gift of His Holy Spirit, who guides us, empowers us, sanctifies us in this pursuit and in this transformation. Happiness in wisdom is happiness in Jesus. Having the very mind of Christ. So as we celebrate God's gifts of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness this morning and each and every day, I encourage you not to settle for any counterfeit happiness sought after in foolishness, but in wisdom, in Christ, pursue true happiness in alignment with God's hopes and dreams for you, His beloved children. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, we just heard a word from You, and I ask You right now that I didn't get in the way of the message that You wanted to give to Your people in Proverbs 3. I want to ask You that we are able to put it into practice in ways that are powered not on our own strength and motivation, but with a strength and motivation that come from You. And I pray that, regardless of where we are in our lives, whether things are going well or whether we are struggling, that you have spoken to each and every one of us in a way that communicates hope, encouragement to trust in you. Help us each to feel your love in ways that are ever-growing and ever-changing. Help us to achieve the mind of Christ, who is our wisdom. In your name we pray. Amen.